Hey everyone, this is Corinne Lafon, your favorite radio host, your only radio host and favorite girl, of course, broadcasting to you from the lovely island of Trinidad and Tobago in the Caribbean on Between the Lines. And you know how we do it here on Between the Lines, always with gratitude, or some people say thankfulness. I am grateful to be above ground, or thankful to be above ground. It's a beautiful day. It's always beautiful in the Caribbean, just to let you know. Always beautiful in the Caribbean. It's raining right now. Well, not actually raining, but it's overcast. It was raining before. And the weather is trying to decide, should it rain? Should it not? Should it stay the way it is?
Yeah.
Okay. If the weather could do that, we could do the same. You know, when women and men can't make up their minds. Okay, we're just following what the weather is doing. I have with me a beautiful woman, Anjana Kosler. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. Thank you.
I did well. A tick for me, Anjana Kosler.
Yes.
And today we're talking about a topic that is very close to my heart. It's knowing your self-worth. Knowing your self-worth. It is important to understand your self-worth, or know what it means, actually. What does that mean? I am going to be introducing to you now Anjana. Let me tell you a bit about her, and I'm going to let her run with it. Her goal as a consultant and therapist is to provide all her clients with the information and tools we each need and deserve to live as fully as possible. She strives to support every client in identity integration while maintaining alignment with their personal values so that they can explore what brings them joy and create an all-encompassing definition for health. And you know, coming down to the end, we're going to be featuring her website. And Jana, I'm going to let you run with it. I'm going to ask you some questions. The main thing is, what does self-worth mean? Share some practical sort of examples to persons so that they can understand how can they know if they're actualizing self-worth, if they really consider themselves worthy. Because what I found, like I was talking to you off air, I didn't realize that I didn't love myself, okay? I mean, nobody says that. Nobody walks around saying, I hate myself. Well, I mean, some people may do that, but generally, we don't say that. However, how I knew was that my actions was not of someone who loved herself. In other words, if I was speaking to Corinne and giving advice to Corinne, okay, the advice I would give her, she's not following. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not taking my own advice that I would give to somebody else.
Yes.
In other words, it's like a self-hate.
Yes.
And I didn't realize. So speak to the audience, let them know, how can you really know? I mean, that we really don't consider ourselves worthy, and especially in relationships, things that we allow, things that we give permission to, and we don't think, we make excuses for them. Okay? Let us know.
So, Corinne, you touched upon so many aspects and so many critical points related to self-worth. On the one hand, you talked about actions being in alignment with how, I think a key piece, how those actions make us feel. When we treat ourselves from a place of not being worthy, we're acting, talking, behaving in a way that limits our access to feeling at peace. And when I say at peace, there's a key difference between what it means to feel at peace and at ease versus feeling a sense of avoidance, numbing our pain. So the process of knowing our self-worth requires being honest with ourselves, right? So that's a key component. Do we really sit with ourselves and know, okay, what am I truly feeling into? A key component of this, though, is feeling safe enough to go there. So we have to take into consideration, do we have spaces where we can really be with ourselves and feel into, hear our inner voice and know, okay, is this is in alignment with me versus this isn't, whether that's in the form of an action, how we speak to ourselves. Another thing that really stands out to me that you mentioned, Corinne, which I think is so significant, is the difference between how we treat ourselves versus how we might treat someone who we hold dear, someone we love, someone close to ourselves. We sometimes hold this double standard of how we show up for other people versus how we show up for ourselves in isolation and in relationship. So there's many things that you're actually speaking to here that are rooted in tendencies and belief systems around what relationships mean, including relationship to ourselves. So we need to become in touch with what are our non-negotiables. That's something that I talk about as far as what is critical in defining who I am and how I show up in the world. And those non-negotiables will show up differently for different people, depending on who they are, their identities, where they are in the world, how they relate to community. And then secondly, how do we translate that into boundaries and requests with other people and also with ourselves, right? So boundaries with other people will look differently than what we would call boundaries with ourselves. We would call maybe discipline or being able to show up for ourselves with some structure. So it's a multifaceted topic that I think can be broken down into relationship with self, relationship with others, and also challenging some of the belief systems that we internalize about what it means to be who we are in the world. So the idea of belonging is essential. How do we know our self-worth when we're not necessarily feeling a sense of belonging with other people? So many times we'll compromise how we show up and compromise what would be our boundaries for the sake of belonging.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Sure.
You were saying a number of things. Non-negotiables, boundaries. I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, we know as women, when we set boundaries and we have non-negotiables, how we are interpreted by the world. You feel you're all that. What makes you think you're special? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you set the red velvet rope. Okay. You have the bouncers and not everybody's allowed to come in, not any and anybody. Yes. And, you know, people are upset.
Yes.
Because you have set a boundary for your own self-worth, because you consider yourself, you know who you are, and you know what you don't want to allow.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that people cannot accept your boundaries? You know, Anjana, when I see people tell me, you know, as a common phrase, you're too sensitive.
That one.
You're too sensitive. Let me tell you, you're too sensitive. You know how that translates to me, Anjana? Allow me to abuse you. Tell you what I want, do you what I want, and say nothing. Just take it.
Yes.
That's what it translates to.
Yes.
There was a time, Anjana, when I used to be defensive about that statement, and I felt I needed to defend myself. I felt I needed to defend. But I have realized and working on myself over the years that people are really saying to me, allow me to take advantage of you.
Yes.
Let me allow you to explain that.
Yes. So you said something really powerful there in terms of becoming defensive. And this ties into when we are feeling wounded, when we aren't feeling seen, when we aren't feeling validated. We sometimes can come from this place of wounding where we feel the need to protect that which has been wounded, that which is injured in us, right? There's a big difference between, though, truly sitting with that wounding, honoring that wounding, feeling oppressed in some manner, feeling marginalized, thinking of yourself outside of the constructs that are imposed on you, validating all of that which is showing up for you, and then still standing in your truth and standing up for what you know to be true for yourself, right? So a key piece here that I want to talk about that I think is essential. Many times we see, and this is connected to knowing your worth, this piece around advocacy, right? Stepping into your anger, stepping into your grief is necessary. There is, however, a big difference between truly sitting with that, validating that, and knowing the tools to hear what that part of us is telling us about what we need, and then communicating that to the world in a way that they may or may not receive. So the other piece that I think is critical here to talk about is that there are systemic imbalances where there are abuses of power rooted in these social constructs. And when there are people who adhere to these social constructs and are benefiting from them, they will resist you stepping into your own power because it threatens their privilege. And this can be seen in the form of gender privilege, ableism, colorism, so many different categories that we can talk about and how that shows up in the world. So part of knowing your worth is also celebrating your own expression of self and diversity in a way that might be unique to the world and might not always be readily accepted. So community is necessary. Allyship is necessary. And finding people who are also willing to go there is a necessary piece so that we can have partnership in being able to not only validate ourselves, because nobody can do that in isolation all the time, right? But doing so in a way that that welcomes other people who do so similarly, right? And then when we do set those boundaries, we're coming from a place of presence, of standing in our truth, as opposed to a place of wounding and having to feel this need to defend.
I see some comments from the watching and listening audience. Let me just feature some. So, Makaya, yeah. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Bless new week to you too. Happy Sunday.
Yes.
if you have any questions, feel free to post them and we'll answer mm-hmm. them live here for you. And Ingemar, he's asking a question here. How can we align our feelings and self-awareness about the environmental destruction and our jobs that often destroy our planet? I am hearing a lot of toxicity here. How can we align our feelings and self-awareness? Well, if I dare to answer that, Anjana, I really don't want to align myself with anything toxic, Ingemar. And I live from a place of, I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. So yes, I'm in the world because yes, I'm here, right? Physically, but I'm not of the world in the sense that I don't pay attention to these things and I choose what to pay attention to, which is why I'm very cautious with what I point to my mind, body, and soul. And that includes food, people who I have around me, where I go, what I do, how long I do it for, if I do it at all, if it just doesn't resonate with me, I just don't, okay? And that includes jobs, it includes the environment, it includes interaction with people, anything. I'm going to ask Anjana to give a response to that now.
I absolutely love what you just shared, that I am in the world, not of it. I literally have a lotus tattooed onto my arm for that. If I can show, I can't quite get my hand there, but the
yes,
lotus.
Show it again. Show it again.
Oh, yes. It's difficult to show like this. Yes. Yeah. So I have a lotus here on my arm for that very reason. The lotus flower symbolizes being in the world and not of it. Absolutely. And it's literally grows itself and expresses itself, though still rooted in swampy mud water, right? Wow. And so I love this analogy. And this question also reminds me of that, because, you know, I'll read it out aloud again. How can we align our feelings and self-awareness about the environmental destruction and our jobs that often destroy our planet? The key word here is align our feelings and our self-awareness. And to add to what Corinne said, there's a sense of empowerment rooted in the question by being aware of how we choose to show up with that awareness, right? So we don't align with the environmental destruction or the jobs that destroy the planet. We align our awareness and our behaviors with what we know to be true about what's rooted actually in preservation, expression, and creativity, right?
I hear choice. I hear choice there. You choice. Choose, yeah?
Yes, there's a key piece of choice. I think what is tricky, though, sometimes people feel as though there is no choice and we're pressured into positions where we, for survival's sake, feel we do have to align with some degree of environmental destruction. And with that being said, I want to step into nuance of choice, where it doesn't have to be all or nothing, right? Mm-hmm. This is part of being in the world, mm-hmm. where we become aware of even the smallest choices in the words that we use, the
thoughts yes.
that we think, right? The choice to participate to what degree and to step back from one degree. And so there's also a tool here, discernment, that's being exercised. Mm-hmm. We discern, we observe, we lean in, we pull back. And through that process, we discern what is in alignment. And so another key piece here that I think is really, really important is you say this word feelings. Now, feelings are an important thing and is something so prevalently talked about in my profession, being a therapist. And, you know, in society, we're taught about the five senses, taste, smell, touch.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing, correct. Mm-hmm. Actually, are more senses than that.
Oh,
there
yes.
is the sixth sense, there's a seventh sense, there's an eighth sense. And so those senses are the vestibular sense of balance, right, in the inner ear. There is the sense of proprioception, knowing where our body is in relation to space, hence why we can touch our nose with our eyes closed. And then there is the eighth sense, which is so significant. It's the sense of interoception. And interoception is something that's not often talked about, but happens all the time. And it's rooted in even in our biology. Interoception tells us when we are hungry, right? The sensation of I'm experiencing a grumble in my stomach that's telling me I'm hungry, which then it's information saying, oh, something needs to shift in how I respond to what is happening in my internal world in order to reach biological homeostasis. Now, interoception also includes affect and emotion. So when we do tune in, there's a mindfulness component to this of when something does not feel right, something feels yucky, or something feels good, right? Mm-hmm. That is listening to our internal cues around what is in alignment versus what isn't in alignment.
Intuition, yes, the gut.
Exactly. It is that gut feeling. And the reason I think we call it intuition and gut, it's rooted in our core, even yes. down to a biological level, because this is essential. This is essential. Yeah. Yeah. And there is this mindfulness component, because when we are feeling truly, truly threatened, we actually lose this mindfulness component and enter into our survival mode. That's when we revert to fight, flight, freeze, fawn. And so the more that we can exercise this mindfulness piece of what am I truly in alignment with, and what action to what degree in this context is most appropriate for me, that will help us stay rooted in making those choices that will support us in maintaining that alignment.
And you know what I remember, Anjana, sorry for cutting you.
That's okay.
I don't know why it came to me, but I went right back to my primary school days. I don't know why the imagery and the sensation came back to me. And I remembered, you know, when you're playing in the schoolyard and your friends form different groups, you had to form teams. And somebody had to pick, you know, you're lined up.
Yeah.
Everybody's lined up, and you had the two leaders of the teams, and they had to pick who from the line will be on their team, on the respective team, team A or team B. And I was not one that was initially picked. I was probably the last one standing, just waiting there. And, you know, there were certain people who were picked right off the bat. So now I say, Anjana, Sharon, Kevin, and Corinne is still standing there. And that feeling was not a good feeling. You feel, I don't like to use the word rejection.
Yeah.
But I think it is part of our experience from a child. Little things, and that's the reason why I bring it up. There are little things that program us into our self-worth.
100%.
Into determining our self-worth. And what I would like you to touch on are those little experiences, probably from childhood, if you want to share a couple of yours, or probably from your clients.
Yes.
So that we can think back. Because a lot of us just let it slide. We forget it. But deep down, it is still there. Because, hello, Anjana, I'm not a child anymore. But yet, a few days ago, this thing came up for whatever. It came up. It just rise up inside of me. And I'm like, what? Where did you come from? But I went back to the feeling. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this to persons because the person that we become in our, I don't want to say older years, but in our 20s, 30s, 40s, when we start to enter into relationships, make decisions on our own, decide on a job, whether to migrate, travel, who to be with friends, you know, which association or networking group to be a part of. It is rooted in those little experiences that trained us to tell us what our self-worth was. And it helps us to decide what to choose. And we end up choosing crap. And we look at our relationships and we see the same cyclical or cyclical situation and wonder how we can't get out of it. We keep choosing the same men. The men keep choosing the same woman. I keep going into the same man. Oh,
yes.
So what are some of those childhood or experiences or things that trained us?
Well, what you've actually just talked about is rooted in understanding human psychology, not independent of our biology, because it's all interconnected. And unfortunately, what we've done is we've separated this idea of mind and body, psychology and body, when in actuality, what you're talking about is an experience within your own nervous system in the context of being social, in the context of belonging. So we are all neural networks, a bundle of associations. We never necessarily forget who we were as children. It becomes a part of us. And this is where speaking to what I was talking about earlier, coming from this place of wounding is significant.
Because trauma.
Trauma. And trauma is defined as anything less than nurturing to the nervous system. So
I love that.
Yes.
Repeat that. Anything less than nurturing.
Yes.
So you have to first understand what is nurturing to you.
Yes, exactly. And many times we grow up in environments where there is a misattunement between our communities and our primary support people because that was not offered to them. So this concept of nurturing in a way that is attuned to the needs of the infant, the child in front of you, is missed. And we also have to name the fact that as children, there's a key piece here that separates adults from children is in adulthood, as we gain autonomy, we have more space for choice. As children, our survival depends upon the adults in the communities to which we belong.
How sad. How sad.
Yes. Yes. However, there is repair possible for ourselves and our inner children through the reparenting work we can do by listening to, again, this mindfulness piece, listening
reparenting. I love that.
Yes. This is where our autonomy as adults, depending on the communities to which we belong, right? But just knowing this is a possibility, the possibility for reparenting and responding to ourselves in a way that is different from what was taught to us can then bring us out of some of those old familiar patterns.
Some of us are scared, Anjana.
Yes, it is scary.
People, I have been around people. I mean... I love silence. Yeah. Where I am now is I only hear the birds.
Yeah.
That's all I hear. And I see the beauty of God's creation outside. Mm-hmm. I would watch an insect crawling on my window. Okay. Yes. Watch his little legs just crawling. I love that. And just be in such bliss with that.
Yes.
And there are people who just can't be in silence because they hear voices.
Absolutely.
Things come
right
back to them.
Yes.
Things rise up in them. And they just cannot deal with it. So instead, shut it down. Shut it up. No.
Absolutely. So what you're talking about in terms of trauma, there's so many types of trauma, right? There is relational trauma. There is medical trauma. There are so many degrees of trauma. And part of understanding also the nature of trauma, what we need in resolution of trauma is safety. And we have to think of safety on multiple levels. There's physical safety, emotional safety, mental safety, and relational safety. Mm-hmm. If we have no framework for what that means, we will not be able to provide that for ourselves.
Wow.
And that is why, too, we must also understand that the capacity to self-regulate and sit with ourselves is rooted in co-regulation. If we look at the development from infancy onwards, co-regulation is necessary in order to be able to internalize and develop those internal resources. So this is why we so naturally seek out community when we're hurting. The question, though, is seeking out the right community that is affirming, that understands trauma, that gives us space, that doesn't impose, right? And so this is where I tell people, including clients, that I want you to listen to when you're speaking to me and it doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. I will honor that. If you need me to back off, mm-hmm. I will honor that. That is 100% you're right. And we're not often told that. Right.
Yeah.
So going internal and to that space, if it's feeling very scary, that's an indication that there isn't enough safety, containment, and structure. Right. And this is why we do need supports. We need conversations like this. This is why professions, healers exist. Right. Yeah. This is where really listening to, again, that interoception piece of this person doesn't feel safe is important. And someone who is safe will respect when you say this does not feel safe.
They should. And exactly. If they don't, then that is an indication. Exactly.
And another piece around trauma is being able to titrate into the trauma gently. Titration is a word that we use to, instead of just jumping into the deep end, right? We gradually build upon really making
little bites. And
this comes back to the question, how can we align our feelings and self-awareness about environmental destruction and the jobs that often destroy our planet? We don't have to do it all at once. No one human being can.
Too much.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there is grief in this process, really being able to acknowledge what we see and sit with our humility in that we can only do so much.
You know what I think, Anjana? Going through my experiences, and you know, it's always a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And I know we have gone a little bit over time, but we have to really bring this back full.
Sure.
Going through my process, my healing, because it's a continuous thing, it's never ending. Mm-hmm. It's important to forgive yourself, first of all.
Yes.
Forgive yourself, because we tend to self-torture. Oh, you shoulda, you coulda, you this, you.
In response to that, I tell people you did what you needed to do.
At the time.
Yes.
That's right.
And you have gotten to this point. So thank that part of yourself from which you've evolved to create enough safety to get to this point to say, I want different.
That's nurturing. See it there, people? That's nurturing. It is not for you now to come back and confirm what your thoughts are telling you about yourself. You are to speak nicely to yourself and say, yes, you did what you acknowledge it. You don't deny it. Yes. It's when you deny it and you fight it is when it you know, you have that chaotic energy happening inside of you. But you say, yes, I did that. Yes. And
Exactly. And Karine, you said something so powerful, something that I think we sometimes lose sight of when we're in the midst of it, is the impermanence, right? It's a dynamic process that shifts and changes.
That's right.
It is not static. So the power is rooted in your ability to observe, not in the emotion itself. The emotion is only informing.
I want to give you another example before we go, because I have to feature a website. My God, I tell you, I'm passionate about this topic, you know, Lord. I came to the realization just yesterday, Anjana. I tell you, these things happen at certain times. I don't know, but I'm thankful. And when I looked at my toxic relationship I was in for 27 years, I knew it had to be the Holy Spirit. Now I'm a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. And I heard the Spirit said to me, do you realize that he was taking from you? Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. So for example, I would buy food. Now I'm talking back to university days when we met, right? Mm-hmm. I was hungry. I was hungry like hell. And I eventually ordered some food because you know, when you're hungry, you can't cook. So you need to buy some food.
That's right.
And I ordered some food and he came over at that time. Of course, well, he just started to eat my food. I offered some because I couldn't eat if somebody's there with me, right?
Right.
But the man literally started to eat out my food without regard to me.
Yeah.
And at the time, I felt a bit annoyed about it, but it was overridden by the so-called love that I thought was there. But yesterday, after so many years later, the dots are connected and it said to me, he kept taking from you. And then one instance from another. Now that is not a nurturing situation and that is not from a place of self-worth.
Correct.
The reason why I point that out, Anjana, is because there are women and even men, I don't want it to seem that we're sexist, There are women and even men in relationships. And I'm not only talking personal relationships, I'm talking familial, your family, sibling, work. It doesn't matter the relationship, but more so personal relationships. You have to be very aware. Now, awareness doesn't come that easily.
No.
It doesn't come that easily, but you have to pay attention to the little pieces. The pieces are going to be disjointed, but pay attention and how you feel at the time. Yes. Don't make excuses for it. And you will be able to understand the relationship that you really have in front of you. Yes. Because a lot of us make the excuses, like I did, and I'm not the only one. We end up digging deeper into the said relationship, only to find ourselves feeling trapped, as some people say, right? Feeling trapped and can't get out. Now, I said that example from my own personal experience because it came back to me yesterday, and I wanted to share that because there are people who might say, but Corinne, that is nothing. It is something.
Absolutely.
It is something, and it wasn't once it happened.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't once. I even recall a situation where he bought dinner and didn't bring any for me.
Mm.
And this was years after ended the relationship. So little things. Yeah. Little things that I just let slip. Somebody listening to this may say, Corinne, you should have left a long time ago. True. We all know this. But we can only leave at a time when we are, I don't want to use the word ready, and Anjana, you may come up with a better word, but at the time when we are strong enough mentally, everything, as Ingemar said, aligned to make the move.
Absolutely.
If you make the move before, you will end up running back.
Yes, true.
You will end up running back, and I did not want to run back.
True.
Close us off with a comment on that while I feature your website.
So I think a word that I would use is resourced. So when I say resourced, that is both external and internal resources. So really looking at what are the tools necessary to explore what I do know to be good for myself. And those tools include discernment. Those tools include knowing your non-negotiables. Those tools include knowing that non-negotiables are a possibility even. And then also exploring what are the parameters around emotional, physical, mental, relational, spiritual safety that I need in order to exist in a way that doesn't feel threatening to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is rooted in knowing inherently that I am worthy of existing in a way that honors that existence unapologetically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You hear that word? Listen, I make no apologies, Anjana.
Yes.
None.
Yes. I love it.
None. I am who I am. You don't like it? Keep walking.
Yep.
You don't have to talk to me. I could block you right now. Let me show you how to do it. And I take out my phone.
It's so true. It's so true.
I say, you don't know. Let me show you. And I take out my phone and I show you how to block.
Yeah.
Okay. How to remove a phone. It's no biggie. No.
And that is because you have the resources, both internally and externally, right? And true empowerment is relational.
Yes. I have reached a space where I am quite fine by myself. I love my own company. It's not that I wouldn't want a little companionship, Anjana, but if you're a toxic companion, forget it. I could block you, delete you, remove you. You know, and I don't even say I remove people out of my life. I remove myself. I remove myself. So I am not rejecting you.
No.
I am removing myself.
Okay. Exactly. We're never rejecting people. We are saying certain behaviors are not okay. Certain mindsets that are abusive are not okay.
Not okay. And I don't need to stay here.
Yeah.
It's a simple thing. And if I leave, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unapologetically.
Right.
And Janet, tell us how to maneuver your website. Is there anything that you would like persons to download? Anything in particular?
So my website, if you scroll down, you can find my Instagram page. You can reach out to me directly. Mm-hmm. I have a blog. I also, if you want to learn more about me, my curriculum vitae on there. I also have a page for resources as well. So if you are feeling that you are in a position where you need additional resources, I'm here to support with that. And if you're in a position where you're just curious and you want to learn more, then you can reference my blog. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to learn more about me, go to the About section. If you want to start a dialogue, then just feel free to contact me and I will be happy to respond. Yeah.
Awesome. This here where it says need support, you're not alone, book now. Is it a free time with you or they have to pay for that?
No, I do put that there is a price. If there are circumstances around which that makes it challenging, please let me know that and we can discuss. Mm-hmm. This is why I say I can provide you with additional resources as well, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. if I long-term am not a good fit, then I will, it is within my scope and also in alignment with my values that I will not turn anybody away.
I notice that you keep putting your hand on your chest.
My heart.
Yes. Your hand on your chest. What did I say? Your heart on your chest?
Yes. I do that. I guess
probably that's what we need to do. Put our heart on our chest. Yes. I don't know.
Yes.
You know, and it's important for us to feel, you know, last night I actually heard my heart beat. That might sound strange to people.
No,
it might sound strange. Oh. We are walking around and our heart is beating involuntarily, keeping us alive, right?
Yes.
But last night in my sleep and putting my head on the pillow, I actually heard it through my ear and I felt the vibration. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I am hearing you. I'm like, whoa. And I heard boop, 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 boop. I'm like, oh, that sounded awesome. Yes. It might seem strange to somebody, but take the time to actually hear that thing that's keeping you alive.
Yes, so true.
It felt so, listen to me, Anjana. I heard it for, I think when the excitement took me, I stopped hearing it.
Yes, it is so beautiful.
But I heard it because I was lying down like this on the pillow and I actually heard it come through my ear and I felt the vibration. I was like, God, that felt good. That sounded so good. I was so connected to my heart at that point.
Oh, that is so powerful.
Yes.
This is where you said earlier, you're a spiritual person. This is where this work is spiritual work, because it's a deepening into beyond what we just see in front of us. It's knowing that internal world and how it shows up and how it's expressing.
Wow. Anjana, we had a lovely time. We went.
Thank you.
45 minutes. 45 minutes. We're supposed to be here for 30 minutes.
This was beautiful. Thank you so much.
I tell you, thank you. And for taking me back, not necessarily to live in the past, but to learn and to acknowledge and to accept and to appreciate.
Yes.
To appreciate who I am today as a result.
Yes.
Of the past. Like I said to a friend last night who I was talking with, you know, he said he wished he had done this 10 years ago. I said, no. 10 years ago, you were not the person that you are today, and you needed to go through what you had to go through in order to have the skills, tenacity, you know, to look at things now. Now, when you're talking and you're doing business, you could see the crap from a mile ahead. You know, 10 years ago, you were not ready for that. Come on.
Exactly.
You were not ready. So don't regret, don't blame. Love on yourself.
Yes.
Love on yourself. And listen to that heartbeat. Don't wait for when you go to sleep. Listen and connect with your heart.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. Any final words, Anjana, before we go?
Ooh, any final words? I did have something that I wanted to share. You said loving on yourself, and that applies to when we're hurting, when we're scared, when we are in joy. Loving on yourself through the entirety of the human experience. What does that mean to you?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Anjana, for being on Between the Lines. I had a wonderful time. Feel free to come back anytime.
Thank you.
Take care.